T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
The notion that Bill Barr should resign is about the dumbest damn thing I have ever heard.
They're vicious, they shouldn't have brought impeachment.
James, in all due respect, is a political hack.
I have a document here that's a smoking gun.
I bill myself as the un-Trump.
We don't feel no ways tired. We've come too far from where we started.
Oh, that's an applause line.
Did Joe Biden really just quote Hillary Clinton quoting someone else in a black church 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He put it in a campaign ad. That wasn't even just him speaking like normal.
Wow.
At least he did it in his voice, kind of. Because Hillary did that in a different voice.
Yeah, she's got that one down there somewhere. I just don't understand why he would want to bring up that image. Wow. All right. Well, you know, here we go. It's Thursday. We've got another great Joe Biden bite for you.
We do.
Isn't that great?
Not a day goes by where
fantastic.
We don't have one.
I don't feel no ways tired.
No, me neither.
Except
I can hear Hillary's voice in my head when you say that.
It's like nails on a chalkboard, too. That was a rough one to play over.
Oh, yes.
I know I've got that bite here somewhere. I'm looking through all my clips for it. I'll find it for you. I promise I'll find it. I know that I've got it here somewhere. Just take me a second to find it. Talk among yourselves. I'm just kidding. Anyway, the whole, if you're just joining us, and happy Thursday morning to you, the whole Roger Stone thing has reached a new level of faux outrage by the crazies on the left in this country. This is their new reason for impeaching Donald Trump. They've demanded Bill Barr come and testify. They're just sure something was done wrong here. They're just certain of it. And it's just going to take them another impeachment inquiry, although they haven't officially called for an impeachment. But that's the direction this is heading. The Democrats are so sure that that the president did something wrong here. They've called for Bill Barr's resignation. Elizabeth Warren did. It just goes on and on. Let's play Pocahontas. Cut 17, please.
That's right. And with people not doing something, I mean, understand, right now, we should all be calling for the attorney general to resign. What Barr has done should mean that we are demanding a resignation. And if that guy won't resign, then the House should start impeachment.
Impeachment of the attorney general of the United States of America. She was just a part of this problem. Listen to the overreaction from the media to this situation with Stone. It's silly.
It is clearly, utterly offensive to the rule of law. This is what sets this country apart. This is what a banana republic does. This is what a dictator does. It is outrageous. I hope people are infuriated by this.
That's Jennifer Granholm, the former Michigan governor. She's Canadian, eh? Remember, they wanted her to run for president a few years back. That's her. She's outraged that a man accused of perjury was not, that they overturned the recommendation to sentence him to 9 years in prison because they're angry that the Mueller report didn't indict the president for Russian collusion. So now it must be Roger Stone's fault. We'll talk more about that today. There's new evidence out that one of the jurors in Stone's trial was a committed anti-Trumper who hated Trump and was biased, and the judge in the case won't even hear the appeal. This is the silly season that we're living in this country. I just have to tell you. And now Han Solo has gone and done it. Thank God I saw the last Star Wars before I had to listen to this. Harrison Ford's now mouthing off. Why do I have to keep hating people in Hollywood?
Can you tell me? The call of the wild. That call was perfect. Donald J. Trump. This was a perfect call. A great call. Not just a good call. So the reviews are really pouring in.
Were you, you know,
that's the first thing that some has done for me.
Harrison doesn't sound good. I've no
because of what he said, or
yeah,
just
when this
in general?
Is the tone of his voice, he just didn't sound good. I didn't.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe he's losing.
Called him an SOB. I think I need to go back. I saw that headline. I haven't seen that story. He didn't seem as vicious as some of them do. I wonder what the context was. I need more context for that before I start hating on him completely.
I can speak to There's a certain part of the Democratic Party that wants us to be a cult. I'm not interested in being in a cult. I'm 75 years old. I'm just not a very culty person.
Look, James, in all due respect, is a political hack who said very terrible things when he was working for Clinton against Barack Obama. I think he said some of the same things.
Bernie's getting a little defensive there about James Carville. He's 75 years old, don't be part of a cult. That guy is like, he was like a caricature 30 years ago, Carville.
Yes.
Look, have you seen him lately? He looks like an alien or something. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny the way the so-called that's the thing, folks. James Carville is now a center-right Democrat on their scale of things, and he's worried about Bernie Sanders. Holy cow! Hey, I tell you what. If you are one of these people who kind of blew off Sanders in 2016, you knew he wasn't going to steal the primary from Hillary because the fix was in, and you've just not paid that much attention to him because you think that he's harmless, do me a favor. On the Facebook page last night, I put up a list of all of the things that Bernie Sanders stands for. And I would like you at some point today to go to my Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook, and read that article. Do a little bit of show prep for yourself and read that article about who the real Bernie Sanders is. Because it's frightening. It's frightening what this guy believes. And he's the leading candidate to be the Democratic presidential nominee. It's what James Carville's so worried about. Let me read you a quote from Bernie Sanders from, I don't know, 20 years ago, something like that. This is Bernie Sanders referring to life in the Soviet Union and communism in general. Quote, American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people have to line up for food. That's a good thing, said Bernie. In other countries, people don't line up for food. Rich people get the food, and poor people starve to death. End quote. That's Bernie Sanders, who wants to be the Democratic nominee for president, throwing his support behind government down owned grocery stores where government provides the scarcity and you have to stand in line when they have items that you might want like bread and vodka and meat. Have you ever looked at the pictures of a Soviet Union grocery store? Like the shelves are just bare. Few things here, few things there, whatever the government decides to give to the people. Doesn't matter what you want to buy, you have to buy what the government gives you. That's what Bernie Sanders wants. He vacationed there on his honeymoon in the Soviet Union. He supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. This guy's insane. He's got, in the article, I need to explain myself here. This is what I pointed out. It's important to understand your enemy. Oh, you can't call a political candidate in the United States an enemy. Bernie Sanders is an enemy of liberty and freedom. Bernie Sanders' policies would destroy the American dream. It would destroy American exceptionalism. Read the article. Go to the Facebook page there, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. Like the page. You're going to get these stories when I post them. People need to understand the crazy things Bernie Sanders stands for. And the fact that most of the people in this country who are under the age of 30, who are supporting a politically active right now, are buying what he's selling. That should frighten you to the core. Because our education system has failed these children. If they've been indoctrinated into thinking that anything to do with socialism or communism is a positive thing. This guy embraces policies that have failed in every single country where they've been adopted. Or the people that still live under those rules are miserable human beings who risk their life to get out of that country and come to the United States where they have opportunity. I don't think we can say it enough. If he's their candidate, I'm going to celebrate it because Trump will chew him up and spit him out. I don't believe the American people will ever, ever, ever vote a socialist into office. I really don't. Not that Sanders or Warren, I should say, or Buttigieg are much better.
The Mark Cox Morning Show, on the air and streaming at 971talk.com.
Reality is, it's not going to get better in all of the ways we need it to get better without a constitutional reform. Mm-hmm. So there are things we can and should do right away. They can deal with black money, dark money.
Stacy Washington, Stacy on the right, my guest this morning. And Stacy, all I can say about that Pete Buttigieg speech was, that was a little awkward. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I'm battling back a little bit of a cold, which I haven't had in over a year and a half, so it feels like a truck is running through my system. I'm like, what is happening to me? Oh, yeah, it's a regular common cold, which I have to thank God for since we have the coronavirus going all over. you know what I mean? It's like you have to get, kind of take it in. Which of these things is worse than the other? I actually think it's interesting that the Democrats have painted themselves into a corner where they have these candidates that are not palatable to them, but there's nothing they can do about it.
Yes.
Do you remember way back when it was like big news that Bernie Sanders was caucusing with the Democrats?
I do.
And he was an independent socialist, democratic socialist. There were all these little names and people were laughing and scoffing at him and he's a crazy old man and blah, blah, blah. He'll never be anything in our party. They never should have allowed him to caucus with them. The idea that they allowed him into their party, it was just a simple act of saying, come over and caucus with us, because they wanted his vote. Now he's literally not just the face of their party, but he's influencing the direction of their party, leaving out pro-life Democrats. 21 million voters. Amy Klobuchar has woken up to the fact that that's 21 million votes that could help push her over the top, even though she's not even a top-tier candidate right now. And I guess the most interesting thing is that the very heart of the Democrats, what is epitomized by the lady at the caucus, not last night, but the one last week, where she'd offered her vote at the caucus, and then she finds out that Mayor Pete, he's a practicing homosexual. He's married to a man. And she got really upset and asked for her vote back, and the caucus person was like, well, we need to have a talk about that. And so she tries to convince her otherwise. This is the kind of schism that's forming where they have some extreme views. There's nothing wrong with anyone who wants to run running, but the person who's going to be the standard bearer for any party has to represent most of the party. And so they have a lot of, they call themselves a big tent. And it's kind of a group of people who've gathered together because they think Republicans are racist and they hate us. And they're really trying to find their way forward with a group of people that don't really agree. There's, obviously, we have a big tent on the Republican side, too. We have some differences of opinion, but it's not nearly as marked as what you see on the Democratic side. And it doesn't bode well for their party. I just retweeted Bernie Sanders, who says on Twitter this morning, because I guess he's really feeling pretty awesome about himself. And the response has been really, really, like, a lot of different people are tweeting about it. He says, our victory tonight is the beginning of the end of Donald Trump. Well, I say he's the end of the Democratic Party. Like, the Democrats are not going to be able to survive with Bernie Sanders as their leader. And they don't even want him. They're still in back rooms without the cigars. Now it's serious. They've just probably got tiny shot glasses of vodka trying to figure out how to stop him. And it's pretty impossible because they're the ones who led the teachers unions to radically shift American education away from teaching the Constitution and civics and to teaching this weird new brand of socialism. The reason why people are running from America and countries all over the world, socialism. The reason why we want to come to America, we're not socialists. What does Bernie Sanders want to do? And now all the Democrats turn this into a socialist nation. It's crazy. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I would agree completely. I know that you've done some work on behalf of attracting or at least educating people who have traditionally not voted for the Republican candidate. Do you think this president is making any inroads or will make any significant inroads with African Americans this year?
Well, poll numbers already show he's up to 34% with black men and 16% overall. And that's just, we're just getting started. We're just ramping up in the coalitions that I'm working on. And that the coalitions I'm on are Veterans for Trump and Blacks for Trump.
Right.
And we're going to be, you're going to start seeing us all over the country popping up at the rallies and supporting the president, but also going out and knocking doors and doing that retail politics portion that the Republicans have traditionally been accused of not participating in the black community. And part of the reason why I'm on the coalition is I want to see that change.
Good.
I want to see the Republicans talk to the black community in the same way that we talk to other constituency groups. We have a message for black America, and it's not what do you have to lose. It's look at what you gained. Americans overall are doing better, but the best minority group participation and performance in the Trump economy is with black Americans and those who are on the lower end of the wage scale. So black Americans represent every spectrum of socioeconomics, and we want to talk to them about how the Trump economy benefits them in every way. Deregulation benefits all of us in every way. So this is an exciting time. Obviously, I think it's a clown show over on the left, but it's a perfect contrast to what the president has brought to Americans, which is economic prosperity, religious freedom, and the ability to simply let the government be so you can live your life and participate in every aspect of being an American without having someone tell you how to do it, where to do it, or specifically what you can do with it. It's your life. You should be able to live it. Mark, I just want to say, head over to StacyOnTheRings.com. I went to the county council meeting last night, and I was inspired to start something called the County Council Diaries. It's over at StacyOnTheRings.com. You can read about everything that happened there last night, including public comment. And I also recapped the first two meetings. So I've been to three of them so far, 3 weeks in a row. And I think it's interesting, and I'm counting it out here, kind of sharing it, because I want people to get involved in their local government. National politics is important, but the county council is making moves that are really impacting all of us.
Sure.
In some pretty disturbing ways in some cases,
yeah.
And I want people to be aware.
I watched a few of your comments, and this is so important that people pay attention to this. Number one, county council is moving one of its meetings to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which means nobody's going to be there. It's just a good way of eliminating the public from showing up, because unless you're unemployed or work from home maybe and can take the time off, how do you go to a 1 o'clock in the afternoon meeting? What are they trying to hide?
It's not even lunchtime. It's not even lunchtime.
Right.
And the reason given for it was that some of the county council members have children, little kids. They want to tuck into bed. And the response to that is obviously, I mean, don't we all have kids?
Thank you.
I don't mind telling you, our 16-year-old, And I would have spent every minute with her. She's the last kid left at home. I don't want to go to a county council meeting on Monday night and spend time away from my 16-year-old. I mean, it doesn't matter if your kid is tiny and has chubby cheeks or if they're a beautiful 16-year-old who's brilliant, who enthralls your every moment of your every day. You want to be with your kids, and especially in the evening when it's dark and it's the wintertime. But guess what? They chose to be elected to go to the county council. So it's like, you know, give me a break. Come on, we're all adults here. It's one meeting a week. And if I've been going for 3 weeks and you're paid to go and you go, you know, however many weeks they meet out of a 52-week year, that's what you chose to do. But Mark, last night in my public comment, I reminded them that while they may see themselves as a squad, they have control over the county council and they're obligated to work with the Republicans who are on the council, who are in the minority. There are three of them. And they're obligated to do that, not because they're the squad or because they're in control, but because they chose to be elected and they represent all of us. They chose to do a job that the rest of us don't want to do, and that comes with a responsibility. They owe us their participation, which means working with the Republicans. And I reminded them of that in a very kind way because I'm not against them. I'm actually praying for these people. I want them to have good leadership because our county is a wonderful place to live. We are blessed to be in St. Louis County. It is a real gem when it comes to places to live across the country. And I don't want to see people ruin it because they're on some email listserv from the National Democrats. This
right.
is not Boston or San Francisco or Austin. This is St. Louis. And I want people to participate because if they decide to try to take us to Boston or San Francisco, we in St. Louis County have to decide whether these are the right people to be in charge of us.
What a great point. The St. Louis County Council diary is right there on Stacy's website, stacyontheright.com. Hey, I hope you feel better soon. Thank you for spending some time.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Stacy Washington there, recovering from a cold, so I hope she gets over that quickly. It's good.
Her
better than the alternative,
else.
Right, which
yeah.
is coronavirus these days.
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's a little too loud and talking.
We have a tremendous opportunity to take the next great step forward. We don't feel no ways tired. We've come too far from where we started. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to stop now.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
It's going to be a long morning.
Just wanted to play you another example of a Democrats pandering to African Americans. Remember that bite from Hillary Clinton when she was talking to a predominantly black church near Atlanta somewhere, I think it was, when she broke into her southern accent and was, I don't even know who she was trying to emulate. I don't feel no waste hard. I've come too far, far, however she said it.
That was pretty good. You're
that was close.
Far.
Yeah.
And then the first bite you heard was a new ad Joe Biden has released, basically suggesting that he knew this. He was paraphrasing whichever lines Hillary Clinton was reading, that he knew it wouldn't be easy, but he's staying the course. I think you can stick a fork in him. I'll be real honest with you.
I think this is proof that his team is just as incompetent as he is at running this election. Who would release that ad?
No kidding.
Wouldn't you think?
It's one thing when he says stupid stuff on his own. It's another thing for a team of a Biden campaign team to put that out there.
Nobody told me this road would be easy. Play cut two. He's even lost Andrea Mitchell.
Southern hospitality, Joe Biden's shocking single-digit collapse has him hoping for a little Southern comfort in a more diverse South Carolina.
Yeah, well, he better buy it in the form of a bottle if he wants any Southern comfort, because I don't think that he's going to get it at the polls.
It's
I don't.
It's almost the weekend.
What's that?
Said it is almost the weekend.
That's a good point. Not that I'm not, I like Southern comfort in a mixed drink. I'm not somebody that would just sit around sipping it, but. It's okay.
That's pretty tasty.
Maybe that helps
it's
Joe.
Terrible.
It might help. It might help Joe. Let me get to a couple phone calls here real quick. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, I'm assuming you've probably already heard that the Virginia House has passed a bill to bypass the Electoral College now, and apparently there's many more other states that are doing this.
They've tried it, but it's not going to stand up to in a court.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Will this go to the Supreme Court also? I mean, wouldn't it be one, you know, whatever is good for one is good for all. You can't just pick and choose what you want to do.
Right. No. I would agree. I think if I read that story correctly, what they voted to do and what some of these other states have voted to do is to say that they're going to base the electors from their state not on how the people in the state voted, but on how the general election went in terms of popular vote. Correct?
Okay. Right.
In other words, you're ignoring the will of your people and giving your electors over to whoever won the national vote. That's not how it works.
Well, I'm reckon we're just going to have to get the popular vote this time, don't you think?
I think you might be onto something, John. Yeah, I appreciate it.
You guys have a great day. Thanks.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, I would suspect that'll end up at the Supreme Court at some point. You have to think. I mean, in several states, all blue states, have tried to do this because they're angry that they keep winning in the population centers but losing the Electoral College, which, by the way, is exactly how our founders set it up to work for a reason. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, I was listening to you talk about Bernie, and I've been having these conversations with, you know, liberal friends, and they keep going, why do you keep comparing us to, like, Argentina or Venezuela or whatever? We're not trying to nationalize industries or anything. It's just a couple social programs. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's how it starts. It doesn't just stop there. You don't get the good parts, you know, where you're going to get free college and free health care, and then they're not going to continue to go on with it. It's like, how do you control it once it gets started?
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. And if you go back and look at what some of the comments Bernie Sanders made in the 1970s, which he has since claimed that he doesn't believe that anymore, he called for nationalizing some U.S. industries, particularly utilities, which is exactly what they did in Venezuela. I'm not saying he's going to do that if he gets elected, but he has called for it in the past. So it's a great point, Steve. Yep. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, he's called for it. I'm just saying. All you can do is look at what people have said. As a candidate, Bernie Sanders has called for nationalizing private companies before in the public interest. That's what Hugo Chavez did. Look at his country today. It's a mess.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.